Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
Yeah, again.
Just like the DUI, if you fail to blow, they don't say, oh, well, they didn't blow.
They take you directly to jail.
Say DUI refusal.
Right. Yes, indeed. You ready to go? Yeah.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Let's jump right into college football. Your Florida Gators. They did well for TV this past weekend and made it all very, very exciting and a great finish up in Tennessee.
Well, let me just say, we don't need to have excitement. I just needed just a win. I left too early because when we scored, I was like, the way we've been playing, it's gonna we ain't going to be able to get down the field that fast and score. Then I get a text message. Touchdown Gators. I was like, oh my God, I missed it. And then I was so elated that we kept one of our three SEC winning streaks going.
Yeah, y'all beat them 11 times in a row now?
11, Kentucky 29, and Arkansas 9. Yeah, I don't even remember the last time we played Arkansas, but... yeah, we got three of the top five longest winning streaks in the SEC.
Yeah, that's...
go Gators.
I had switched to another game, and I got your text about it's great to be a Florida Gator. I said, they come back and won.
Oh, this game, it's great to be a Florida Gator. Okay, I'm back.
Let's see, on the other side of that coin, Ole Miss hosted Vandy this past weekend. And we was discussing it before we came in just now, but Ole Miss didn't, you know, they didn't put up the 70 that they put up in weeks one or two. They didn't play with what seemed like, you know, as much passion as they did against Alabama. I don't know if that had a lot to do with what Ole Miss wasn't doing or just Vandy, you know, having a great game plan. And, I mean... for a while, I was really thinking that Vanderbilt had a chance.
I think they was drinking their own juice. Somebody had told them how great they are, and they was believing it. Because if the truth be told, Alabama is not that good, okay? So you beating Alabama and skyrocketing to number three, tied with TCU.
Not anymore.
But Alabama's just not that good. And so that wasn't even that big of a win. It was big in the fact that it's the SEC and your West, and it was away. But it wasn't big that I don't know that they should have jumped all them spots to number three.
Shh. Don't tell nobody.
Okay. I don't think that they should have jumped all them spots to number three.
Well, coming out, AP polls come out yesterday. Ole Miss is number three outright with TCU. This is another thing I cannot stand about the polls. TCU drops to number four because they struggle with Texas Tech and win in another dramatic finish on the weekend. So they dropped to four.
Talking about drama, I still don't think that boy's foot was down, but whatever. Then nobody asked me.
Yeah, we're just going to leave that where it was.
Nobody asked me nothing.
So Ole Miss is three and Florida jumps in at number 25, and that leads us to this coming week. I have a bet to lay down.
Okay.
It's your Florida Gators hosting my Ole Miss Rebels. I say this.
But shall, thou said.
Loser buys IHOP. The next time we are in the same vicinity, loser buys IHOP.
Yeah, we might have to go somewhere other than IHOP, but yeah, okay.
Okay.
Down.
Well, would you throw IHOP as a placeholder for wherever?
This is what I don't understand. How do I lose? I got a degree from both schools. Can I lose?
No. You technically no. But since you are waving the orange and blue.
Yeah, I'm waving the orange and blue. I'm bleeding the orange and blue. So yeah. I'm telling y'all, Ole Miss, y'all come down in the swamp, saying like y'all played against Vanderbilt. Would not leave alive.
Ooh, she done put down the gauntlet. You done throwing down the gauntlet. It's early in the morning. Oh, let's see.
And I don't even think we that good. I'm not drinking the juice. I don't think we that good. But again, if you go down there and play like you played against Vanderbilt, we'll find a way.
You gonna come up with a way.
We'll find a way.
Let's see. I'd like to throw an apology out there for last week. If anyone of our listeners actually heard me say that BYU and Michigan would be the game of the weekend, my bad.
But what happened was
Michigan tore them up 31-0.
See, this is what I was saying last week, or one of them weeks. Look, Harbaugh gonna have them boys ready. Now Ohio State. They should be, you know, get better, but that's going to be the game this year. That's going to be a better game.
And it's at the big house.
At the
big house. It's going to be a good one.
I'm probably going to have the boys hype. Yeah, not that they're going to need it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know I told you about this coming into this episode, but I think what we ought to do right now, and it's we'll do it each week, and I'm sure the four teams will be different each week.
Mm-hmm.
The way college football goes. But if ESPN can do it, we can do it. Let's pick.
Way too early, Final Four.
Right. Our way too early Final Four predictions for the NCAA football playoffs. You want to go first or you want me to go first?
No, you can go. You can go first. I'm
Go ahead. Okay. All right. My picks are in no particular order. Ohio State. And I put them in there just because I believe the Big Ten is awful. And that what's going to trip them up, I think, what has potential of tripping them up is they end the season at home against Michigan State. And then their very last game after that would be at Michigan at the Big House. So I see that as potential roadblock for them. The second team I put down, TCU, just because I feel like they're the best of the Big 12. They end the season at Oklahoma and home against Baylor, which, potential roadblocks there. I put my Rebels in there for my third team. They have to keep winning. They have to keep winning. Their last five games are at home against Texas A&M, at Auburn, home against Arkansas and LSU, and then in Starkville against those Bulldogs. And my last team, I threw UCLA in there. I feel like if they can continue their winning, they don't have Oregon on the schedule, which I think is good for them. They have a stretch here. Their next three games are Arizona State, Stanford, and Cal, which could be potential roadblocks. But I think not having Oregon on the schedule is great for them. And they continue winning, they win the Pac-12. I think they have a good shot. What say you?
So you just left Michigan State out?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I did.
So I've seen TCU. They've been injured a lot. And I don't think they're going to get – I think they're going to lose again. Not again. They're going to lose. And they'll probably be the Baylor game. But West Virginia, somebody going to sneak up and get them. And I saw Iowa State. They're not bad. So the way they playing, unless they – obviously, they can, teams tend to get better at the end of the year. They're going to – luck going to run out. I'm going with Ohio State just because they don't have anybody tough with Michigan State. I don't think they'll lose both of them. I think they're going to lose one of them. But I think the four teams most – I think – everybody gonna have a one loss that's in that. UCLA, I like them. They don't. They got a good offensive line. They got a couple of tough games. You know, they got Stanford on the USC at the end of the year. But again, this is the way too early.
Right.
Picks. Fournette is killing. And
did you see him throw that boy from Auburn off of him like he was a rag doll?
Look here. If they quarterback can do anything, they could sneak up. And again, I'm betting that all the four teams that make it this year are gonna have a loss. I don't think anybody's gonna go out and beat.
Right.
I mean, anybody that matter. It might be some little school that, you know, Northwestern or something, they go undefeated, and I don't know that they'll get in the top four. So I got LSU, UCLA, Michigan State. I want to go with Ole Miss, but I've seen them crumble at the end of the year. And like you said, they got LSU. Even though it's at home, Fournette is a beast. I already done told you they mess around there and playing around and going to go to games feeling loose. Two losses gonna get them out. So, Baylor, I'm gonna go with Baylor for now.
Okay, Ohio State, UCLA, Michigan State, and Baylor.
Yeah, I just didn't even put no SEC team. I put LSU, but I'm not really sure about that. They got a tough road ahead of them. They got to come to. Where they don't have to come to games, but they got Florida, Alabama, and Ole Miss left, so yeah.
Bama might not make it out this season.
They're gonna lose a good three games.
Yeah. I think Derrick Henry's a beast now. But
he is, but the quarterback terrible and their defense is not as fierce as it once was. And
they don't have the receivers they used to.
Yeah.
They're all young. But I think that's going to bring us to our first break. On the other side, we'll get into week 3 of the NFL. And a little later on, we'll talk a little entertainment, a little TV and entertainment, give our review on Scandal and Empire. So that'll be on the other side. This is the Mac and T Show. Thank you for listening.
What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. NFL Week 3. Big storyline coming out of the Week 3 is Big Ben Roethlisberger will be out 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain. Could have been a lot worse. Looked a lot worse on film. Michael Vick is his backup. Will not be the same as Roethlisberger, I don't believe. But they still have Le'Veon Bell. They still have Antonio Brown. Excuse me. They still have some weapons. Heath Miller, tight end. They have weapons that can get them through it. Vic just has to be a placeholder for a few weeks. They got to win a couple games to stay in contention. But
if you win your division in the NFL, you go, right, to playoffs.
Right.
No. Okay, so they can still win their division. New England, their next games, is Baltimore, San Diego, and Arizona. Okay, Arizona's going to be tough.
Baltimore 0-3.
Baltimore.
Chargers are terrible.
Right, so, if they could just go 500. I'm just saying, if they can just go 500, I don't know that I believe in Cincinnati that much.
No, they're playing well to start the season. This is the yearly Save Marvin Lewis's job streak that they're on right now. I've never seen a coach that has never really won anything, never even been to the Super Bowl, but can continue to save his job with a year like this.
He's probably a real nice guy. So
right. He keeps his nose clean.
And you don't really hear a lot about his players getting in trouble and anything. I actually look like it's good that they picked Vic up because Who knew?
A veteran.
But the first thing people were saying was like, oh, well, it's okay that they got Vic because Vic won't play because Roethlisberger, whatever his name is, Hamburger, is so good.
Yeah, and you know, just somebody for the practice team, basically.
Right, and then, bam, he get hurt.
Hey, you never know.
This must be the year of the injury because every time I look up, I know players get hurt all the time, but you don't normally see this many big name players hurt this early.
Mm-mm. Let's see.
They're driving like fives.
Moving on to the New England Patriots, who are on fire. I agree. Honestly, I understand it was the Jacksonville Jaguars they were playing yesterday. But just the way they started the season, and I said this way back. I said Brady was going to come out with all kind of vengeance. And he joined yesterday with his first touchdown pass. He joined Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, and Dan Marino in the 400 touchdown club. Rob Gronkowski at tight end, he's a nightmare for defenses to cover. There's no linebacker that's quick enough to stay with him. There's no cornerbacks that are big enough to cover him. And I say that, and they only threw to him a couple of times yesterday. And once again, I'm not saying this because he's on my fantasy team at all. I needed some touchdowns, and Brady threw two touchdowns to some wide receiver I've never even heard of. This is what Tom Brady and the Patriots do. They make names out of people that you don't even know.
Well, it's the system, right? But that boy's gonna get hurt. Don't he get hurt every year? Like Gronkowski, was his shoulder something last year, or was that?
Yeah, it seems like it's an injury that gets him out every once in a while, every couple games.
A place to happen. So
No.
Dallas, they got Dallas coming up. They probably beat them. Indy, just when you thought they was terrible, they what's his name? Though three touchdowns or something.
Yeah, I text you what I wanted to talk about today when it came to NFL. And first thing I had on the list was the Colts suck. And then, after that, Andrew Luck throws a touchdown to Philip Dorsett. Throws a touchdown to Dante Moncrief. Next possession after that, Frank Gore runs it in for a touchdown. And I said, it's like I spoke that into existence. And I tried. I said, boy, the 49ers stink. I tried. I texted that to I should have texted you, but I texted somebody else. 49ers suck. And I'm hoping that it would go the other way.
Oh, that won't go help.
No. Kaepernick with the four interceptions, it looked like he was playing for the Cardinals.
They are who we thought they were.
Yes.
We told y'all they was going to be off a long time ago. First of all, the defense, just all of the people quit. Okay, yeah, some of them had injuries. Some of them said they didn't want a concussion and I had dementia. Some of them can't stop doing drugs and driving. Some of them can't stop hitting women. Whatever the reason, they lost a bunch of people. Then you make bad worse by hiring a defensive line coach or whatever he was. Not a coordinator. We are talking about a coordinator, not a line. And so, anybody that knows sports would know why I just did that. But anywho, not a line, but a coordinator, but a line coach. So, he goes from being a defensive position coach to the head coach. We all saw this coming.
And once again, I'm not being selfish, fantasy wise.
Yes,
but
you are.
When it was out of hand, they should have just handed the ball to Carlos Hyde, and they did not.
It's so unbecoming. Stop.
It is. And then the TV panned over one time to the bench, and it was Vernon Davis, Anquan Boldin, and Torrey Smith, the three top receivers allegedly. I still think Quentin Patton needs to move up in that rotation. But the three top receivers for the 49ers sitting over there, and between them, two receptions between the three.
Get out of here. So it's only going to get worse. Green Bay coming to town, or are they going to Green Bay?
It don't matter. They could play that. They could play that on the sandlot field, and Green Bay is going to beat the dogs two out of them.
The rocks off of them. The Giants looked okay, and I mean we. I don't know that we're going to get another win for a while because then we got Baltimore. I mean, this is bad.
Yeah.
Go Niners.
Go Niners, yes. Broncos played last night, Sunday Night Football, against the Chiefs. The defense, I mean, I said the Chiefs. Who did they play?
Last night.
Yeah, I fell asleep, but it really don't matter. But,
oh, Lord, you know I was sleeping, you were asleep.
Right.
The Broncos played Detroit.
Yes, the Lions, excuse me. The Chiefs and the Packers of tonight, Monday Night Football. Yeah, so they played the Lions. Broncos working in a new offensive scheme. Peyton looking more comfortable, still not where Peyton Manning, where we think Peyton Manning should be.
He stopped being so analytical and all that other stuff. He likes somebody else I know that I should not name. But sometimes just get out there and run the play. Stop all that, oh, if this happened, if X, Y, Z, then Z equals X squared plus Y. No, just go out there and play. It ain't that much.
It's football. Come on, man. But their defense is really keeping them in games, and it's I think it's the main reason they're 4-0 right now.
Well, that pick that I just saw, that was beautiful. Yeah, oh. Number 29, man, he caught an over the shoulder pass like they was throwing it to him.
Speaking of defense, once again, I bring my fantasy football team
here
relevance.
We go. I thought we was better than this.
I can't help it. I was frustrated yesterday because in my mind, I saw my Jets defense going up against the Eagles, and I said, I'm going to have 30, 35 fantasy points just on defense alone. And no. The Eagles wanted to actually play a little bit yesterday.
I didn't know that they don't beat them like 10 times or something. Like, they ain't never lost to them.
I didn't know that either. I heard that on TV yesterday.
Yeah, they put it on screen. I was like, oh, that's like Tennessee and Florida. Oh, okay, I'm back.
And you get on me for bringing up my fantasy team. let's see. Yeah, so we saw in that game in the Eagles and the Jets, we saw one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen. A player that wants everybody in the world to think he's the greatest, and I'm speaking of Brandon Marshall. He wants everybody in the world to think he's the greatest receiver ever. And he does one of the dumbest. He getting tackled. He tries to lateral it, throws it right into an Eagles defender's stomach. And just go down. Just go down.
Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
And let's see, wrapping up NFL. Let's see, Julio Jones. Can we get him on the 49ers because he is a beast?
No, I don't want to ruin his career. Because Kaepernick can't talk to him, and it was warning. Stay where you are in Atlanta.
Oh my God, he's a monster.
Go Falcons.
And does his job and doesn't say a word. Just goes about his business. He got don't take your helmet off because you got one to.
It's her. I don't know what he need to go bald or do something. I'm tired. Didn't he have dreadlocks at Alabama or something? And then
right, and now it looks like
I was like, cool. Yes, that's a good look. Now he got something on his head.
He looked like Peaches off of Low Down Dirty Shane.
Shane. That's one of my movies. You know I love that.
I know. That's why I brought that up for you.
Shane.
Let's see. I think that's going to bring us to our next break. On the other side, we'll discuss Scandals, Season 5, Episode 1, and Empire, Season 2, Episode 1.
I do what I want to say what I want with no apology.
Yes, indeed. Well, we'll talk about all that on the other side. This is the Mac and T Show. Thank you for listening.
is it? What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show. Empire, Season 2, Episode 1 was this past Wednesday. I know we previewed it really well and kind of gave our thoughts on what might happen going into Season 2. Here is actually what did happen. Lucius is in prison, obviously. They, I call them the takeover crew. That's Cookie, Anika, Hakeem, and Andre. So if you hear me say takeover crew, that's who I'm speaking of. They hold a Free Lucius rally where they had a bunch of, you know, artists come in. Jamal sang. But it appeared on screen, the Free Lucius rally was all about, you know, getting Lucius out of jail and justice. But what it really was for the takeover crew was a chance to impress a rich investor. It was Marissa Tomei's character. And let's see, who was going to invest $250 million into their takeover of the company. Frank Gathers, who is mentioned in Season 1, is played by Chris Rock, who is in prison for, you know, drug dealing, among other things. But he's the one that Cookie basically snitched on to get out of, to lessen her sentence. She's the one that was, she worked with the feds to, you know, to get Frank Gathers put in jail. He's in the same prison as Lucius. Coincidence. So he finds out that Cookie snitched on him while he's in prison. And, you know, he kind of goes after, he threatens Cookie and her family with, you know, different things. He threw some black roses on her front door, threw a dead person's head in a box.
Spoiler alert.
Right. I guess I should have put that out there first. If you have not seen this episode, you might want to just fast forward right now.
Yes. Spoiler alert.
So, Cookie goes and finally meets with Lucius in prison and tells him everything that's going on. And Lucius basically has Frank Gathers taken care of, which I cannot tell you how happy I was with that, because Chris Rock, I love him. Funny man. Not a serious killer type, and I didn't think he was right for that role. Now, I understand he may be trying to broaden his horizons, but no.
No, this ain't where you broaden your horizons. This is why I don't want them to just start being all about who the next big star gonna be on. Like, yeah, that'll be like having Loretta Devine come on and being, well, she could probably be Cookie one. But
yeah, after seeing her in the Carmichael show, yes,
she
I think.
Probably Cookie Mom. She'd probably be a little bit better. But having the Loretta Devine being gangster or something, that ain't going over. So just tell us a story. I'm tired of the foolishness. Just tell us a story.
Continuing on with the spoilers. So Lucius asked Jamal to find out who Marissa Tomei's character was. He saw her at the Free Lucius rally. He was watching it from prison on TV. Asked Jamal to find out who that was, and he flips it on the takeover crew. As we find out later in the episode, he meets with Marissa Tomei, and he winds up teaming with her. And takeover crew loses all that money that they were fixing to have invested for them. So, Jamal, I believe, is becoming Lucius Part 2, Lucius 2.0, whatever you want to call him. He's very angry with Cookie. He thinks Cookie has a lot to do with, Lucius being in jail. Sees the takeover crew as a way to basically go against him when they really want him to be a part of it. But he's liking the power. He's liking having that, being in charge of Empire, and he thinks that, you know, they're basically going against him.
Well, again, I just need him to tell us a story, stop being all about these stars, and we'll see if it gets better. Because a lot of people thought it was really jumpy and choppy because they were going all over the place once again, like he ended.
Right, like he ended the season finale of season one.
So he's going to have to clean it up and just get us on back on the story, like when we first met Cookie getting out of jail, and then we knew Cookie was had a goal of doing whatever. Now we know that they trying to take over, but we jumping around too much. Just stick with something. Give us a little side story here and there. But I need an overarching story.
Right. Well, this week's episode is supposed to focus on Cookie and the takeover crew starting their own label. So, of course, there'll be some more guest stars. I don't know. I think they need to move on from the guest star. What I really liked about season one was that you have new stars being developed, like this Jamal, Andre, Hakeem. I mean, they're you know, young actors that are, you know, being shown to the world. And now, you, like we say, you had the tendency to water it down when you're bringing in this big star, that big star. Ludacris going to be on in a couple of episodes. I mean, you know.
Don't nobody want to see all that. Again, this is not Saturday Night Live. Just tell us a good story. Tell us what Jamal, is this boy, not Jamal, which one is Malik, this youngest one?
Hakeem.
Tell us, is Hakeem, is he in high school, is he in college? I need some more backdrop on him. I don't know where he is. I guess he's a teenager. We guess from her being in jail 17 years and him being a baby, he's 17 or 18. But are we saying that those people don't go to college? Well, we've seen Sean did his son in college playing football, and we saw, I said Sean did it, haha. We saw Snoop Dogg's son drop out. We don't know why, but he at least went. So rich people do go to college. Let's do something with him.
Yeah, and give us something on his backstory, and give us a backstory in general. They kind of went away from backstories in the first episode.
Well, they need to do something because, yeah, we know that the oldest son went to college, and that's when he had his mental breakdown, but he got his MBA. Right. And we really don't know much about Jamal. What he got a degree in something? Besides him being gay, that's all we know.
Right.
You cannot keep hanging your hat on that. And everybody in the world ain't gay. No offense to homosexuals, lesbians, gay, bisexuals, transgender. But let's not make it like, and if they are, they not open about it. Like he trying to break, like that last character, the lady that's helping them.
Right.
She just so happened to be a lesbian.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Please don't make every character, like, we get the point that you're trying to bring LGBTQ to, you know, that lifestyle and how they just like regular people to our attention. But don't just start making everybody be a lesbian.
Right.
Okay, it's going to be a turnoff. I mean, I like the show. I'm fine with Jamal being gay, a man who has sex with men, whatever you want to title it. If you're going to have a lesbian on there, you already went that with Tiana's character and her girlfriend, and then you went away from that. And now you just, I mean, I could see if we started where we was in Jamal's world, he might have more gay and lesbian friends, but we in a bigger picture. That's not necessarily the case.
Great. But storytelling. We need more story, and hopefully we get that in the coming episode. Speaking of storytelling,
can I say something? One more thing. Don't be emailing us and sending us no Twitter saying that we gay bashing or hating or homophobic because we not. I have transgender sibling, and I have associates and friends that are lesbian, gay, or whatever. I can care less who you're sleeping with and any of that other stuff. But again, I don't want this story to go south because he started making it like everybody homosexual, which is not the case.
Right, correct, correct, correct.
All right.
So, speaking of storytelling, Scandal, season 5, episode 1 this past week, starts off, well, the big story, Scandal's always got a story within a story, but the big boom story is basically a remake of Princess Diana's situation.
Too much.
Right. You got Princess Emily is killed in a car crash inside the United States after being chased by what we thought was paparazzi. The Queen of England hires Olivia to protect the princess's dignity, throughout this whole, investigation into what happened. Queen and Olivia discover that paparazzi was actually an assassin. And Princess Emily was pregnant. They discovered that the paparazzi was an assassin, and Princess Emily was actually pregnant at the time of her death with the bodyguard's baby. And, of course, this leads them to believe that the prince had something to do with the paparazzi, with the assassin and what happens with the car crash and all that. Turns out, it was the queen who hired the assassin.
Sorry.
That's okay. The queen who hired the assassin to kill the princess. So, they basically flipped it on them because Olivia goes to the queen to, tell them what they had found and what they feel like the prince is involved in it, blah, blah, blah. Queen basically lets her know then. And the queen's chilling because she thinks she got all this diplomatic immunity and then nothing gonna happen to her. Or she got that flipped on her because Olivia went straight to the prince. And they flipped it on the queen quick. It was just a bunch of flipping going on right there. Let's see. Outside of the story, the story within a story, you got Fitz filing for divorce from Nellie, who is now the Senator of Virginia. Huck is going crazy with stress of his alter ego killing, basically at will. And he wants to be a part of his family, his wife and his son's life. So he's going nuts with that, fighting that feeling. And this episode ends with Sally Langston, who's former vice president, is now a TV show host. She ends the episode by basically outing Fitz and Olivia's relationship. And that's going to be a big part of the next episode. But so it's now out in the open that they're, going at it like rabbits.
So, I said it once, I said it again. I would get off this Scandal train if we go back to having to watch Fitz and Olivia like two teenagers. Okay. Number one, he married. I don't really care about how y'all in love, because somebody I was talking to was like, oh, then look, that don't matter. He married. You know he married. If it was, she was on the other foot, you would be hot. But Olivia seen this thing because she married. I mean, that he don't love the other lady. I could care less.
Right.
Number two, we've been there and done that. Let's move on. Let's go back to having the overarching story, like when we started, trying to figure out was that girl pregnant by the president and Olivia came in and saved the day. Let's go back to the overarching story, which was, I think, the whole thing about the, during at least one season, it was about the presidential thing being fixed and trying to keep that from coming out. And then the little side stories. And let's stop stealing stuff from other people. Like, go dig down in the USA Today from 1999 and see if you can find something. Don't get some big story that we already have seen played out, like Diana, Princess Diana's death. Right. It's something that we don't know about.
I'll be interested. I don't mean to cut. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut y'all.
No, it's all good.
I'll be interested to see who it was that leaked the video footage from the White House to Sally Langston. Who's gonna be the one that takes that fall?
Cyrus. Ain't gonna be no fault. Cyrus probably did.
I I think this Elizabeth North character.
So you think it's the one that took Cyrus's spot?
Correct. I think she's phony. They didn't really focus on her that much, and they seem to be trying to make you not think that about her, so it's a big surprise when it does happen. But
what did she get to gain? What did she gain? She got the president on her side because she told the president about Millie's little incident.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not gonna fall into the president's spot. I mean, if anything, it's the vice president, because we know they don't like each other.
Right.
And what did the redhead, was she in it? Her name? She got a name. She's the princess secretary.
Yeah, I don't remember. I can't think of her name.
Was she in it at all?
She was, and the storyline with her is she's basically on. Now that Cyrus is not there, she's not getting the information. Like, she basically looked like a fool at the podium with the press because she's telling them that, you know, the president is sick. He's not, because at one point he was saying he wasn't going to go to
mail his thing.
Right. And Olivia talked him into it. Well, this girl doesn't know. She doesn't know that he's been talking to going. And she's at the press conference telling the press that, you know, the president is sick. He's got other obligations. He's not going to be able to make. And then one of the press says, well, I just got a text confirming that he's there now. And she looks like a fool at the podium.
Well, she might wind up quitting and going back and work with Olivia.
Maybe she's feeling done in by Olivia because Olivia keeps telling her that the president didn't call me. The president didn't, you know, he didn't come see me once he announced that he was getting divorced, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, she keeps walking in on Olivia and Fitz, you know, hugging up, you know, doing.
Like they love teams. Right. I can't take it. Y'all got control of y'all hormones. Come on, grown folks.
It's going to be interesting to see where she goes.
Well, Cyrus might make him a little team.
And there's always Daddy Pope. I don't care that they put him in jail.
He's probably out as we speak.
That man has power.
And his mom, the mama.
Right.
She gotta come back.
She running loose and free.
Yeah, she gotta do something to show us why the daddy, because it ain't necessarily super clear. We know she was kind of bad about this whole plane blowing up, but we need to know some more of her background as to how treacherous she actually is.
Right, because in the early flashbacks, the mama was, you know, real, you know, just the, you know, real nice mother, loved Olivia, blah, blah, blah. And the mama is a G.
So she is as bad as Pope, Daddy Pope.
Mm-hmm. And
we need to revisit, like, her, have her doing something.
It all remains to be seen.
Yeah. They better hurry up because, I'll tell you right now, I will get off the scanner train. I'm not trying to see them all acting like they ain't got no kind of self-control out in the White House with all them cameras everywhere. Come on, people.
Well, I think that's going to wrap up our episode for this day.
Go Gators.
Howdy, toddy.
Go Gators.
So, we'll be back next week with another episode, and we'll fill you in on who won down there in the swamp.
And we're going to talk about power because she's crazy. I'm finishing season 2 as we speak.
Oh, yeah. We'll throw a little power in there. But we'll get into that and more on the next episode. As always, I'm Brian McKay, and I am with
T. Davis.
And this has been the Mac and T Show Podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.